Greetings, everyone. Jonathan Alexander here. I am editor of College Composition and Communication, and we have with us today Jeffrey Bacha, who is the author of The Physical Mundane as Topos, Walking, Dwelling, Using as Rhetorical Invention. With me also is editorial assistant Jens Lloyd. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I always begin these podcasts by asking our authors to tell us a little bit about the backstory of this article. How did you come to write this particular piece?
Like I said in the article, it kind of came through my teaching. UAB is located in the heart of Birmingham, which is the biggest city in Alabama, and we're growing. So there's constantly construction, and I'm always trying to get my students to write about stuff they're interested in. So in casual conversations during class, we would talk about our day, how we got to campus and different things. And as more and more construction popped up, more and more complications in their day started arising, and they seemed interested in it. So I just kind of formalized or made it more formal, and we started exploring it as topics for essays.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So Jeff, at the core of your article is really kind of this relationship between users and a product, right? And yes. In this article, you've got the campus as what you call kind of a university-sponsored product. And you basically ask your students to kind of think about themselves as users of the campus. And there are a lot of insights the students seem to gain about the campus as a product. But I'm wondering if you could just maybe touch on and kind of expand on what you feel or what you see your students kind of learning about themselves as users of the campus. Insights or also maybe problems, kind of questions that you see them running into?
Right. It's really interesting when they start writing, they start really looking at it this way, because they'll start talking about darkened hallways or places on campus where they don't exactly feel safe. Like a parking garage that doesn't have any security cameras in particular places, so they can kind of go through doorways and go upstairs and stuff, and no one knows they're there, can see them. Another example is they built a new dorm, appropriately named the new freshman residence hall. And the pathway from the dorm, the main entrance, leads straight into a busy road, relatively busy now because more traffic. And to them, they think they should be able to walk right out across the road into this now blocked off roadway and go about their day, when the crosswalk is actually, I think, 20 feet to their right or something like that. So they're constantly battling traffic and battling themselves on whether or not they should, you know, jaywalk, break the law, or go up to the actual crosswalk, which is interesting itself. And they really start picking apart some of the small things, the things they never really notice. Like, they'll complain about sitting in a desk that has a very small tabletop on it, those fold-out desks. And they'll complain about how uncomfortable it is to take a test in it, but it never occurred to them to actually say anything about it. So we get into this and we talk about, you know, what is this place that you're using and what can you do to make it better, or pick apart what you think is wrong with it. And I think viewing their own lives is in some ways a byproduct of the places they confront is something they've never thought of before, which is interesting. And really, they are users. They're users of a learning environment.
Absolutely. I love the concept that you think through dwelling and how inviting students to consider the spaces in which they dwell as users is a way to actually get at some really thick thinking about how not just our minds, but our bodies too are shaped to do particular kinds of work in the world.
Yeah.
But I also am curious about your turn to usability studies, and would love to know more about what you think usability studies and research has to offer composition as a field.
Well, I think this is just one way to look at it. I think that looking at physical structures is one aspect, of course. My background is a little bit more in system development. Mm. So I worked on a major online writing lab, and I've worked on other smaller systems for different companies. And I think that we do have a way to look at things rhetorically that a lot of other people don't, if we start looking at it from a perspective of, I don't know, other scholars have called it communication, to where we're trying to solve a problem and if we analyze it from a particular way, we can see the problem getting done, and ways to make it easier. And I think that the more rhetorical work we add to analyzing structures, systems, even tutorial software, or the types of platforms we communicate with our students, I think would be a great benefit.
That's excellent. So along those lines, where do you see this work taking you next?
Well, in the piece, I mentioned that it can be stretch out to different contexts, so different composition courses, other ways, and I'm headed in that direction, I think, right now. So I'm currently looking at, I'm running a second semester class, so this is the class after the one I talk about, and the last time I ran it, I took a similar approach to where we looked at the problem, but then we started talking about solutions, you know, ways of actually fixing what they're doing. So they're researching and thinking about how things can be used better and proposing ways to make their situation a little bit better. So they're not just becoming people who point out the change, but they're also starting to think about how they would really get into it and suggest changes and work in that side of the equation.
Jeff, I've got another question about I think your conclusion, where I think it's even, you know, subtitled something like, you know, other campuses, right? So you're really thinking about how this might apply on other campuses. And you talk about UAB being a campus that's, I mean, expansion kind of seems to be the watchword. I think Jonathan and I can certainly sympathize with that here at UC Irvine, kind of again, expanding, kind of thinking ahead. But I'm wondering, for campuses that maybe you're thinking in the other direction about history and historical preservation, so maybe more, you know, historically rich campuses, that might be a loaded phrase, but how might this term kind of, or how might what you're working through here, this assignment sequence, how might it look on a campus that isn't so much thinking about expansion, but is thinking about historical preservation or along something along those lines?
Right. I'm not really sure I have a direct answer to that right now, but I can say that I did this a little bit differently when I was doing my graduate work at Purdue, and you know, it's an older campus. They're not really expanding as much as they are here, but I still had students work through it. And in some ways, even as you're doing the work to preserve something or change something, you're always going to have workers on campus, and you're always going to have parts of campus that are going to be impacted or affected. And maybe there are lost parts of campus that students might be able to uncover using some of the same approaches I've been talking about. Maybe they can find something or discover something that has been lost, which would be really interesting if you're walking down the sidewalk and you see something and it turns out to be an interesting discovery of history. That would be interesting.
So students in your classes, they're really researchers in multiple senses of the word, sometimes potentially archivists, but also people who are really thinking critically about the spaces that surround them.
That's what I'm hoping to promote anyways. Yeah, definitely.
It's great. Jeff, yeah. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Jeffrey Baca, the physical mundanist, Topos, read it in the 2016 Seas. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you very much.